Hey everyone, my name is Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and their liberation so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. I'm delighted to welcome you into the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit, which is a global offering for women just like you, comprised of female writers and those that support the craft of writing to inspire you to find your authentic voice and use it in ways that you feel most inspired to, including writing your first book or maybe your second, but more than anything, giving you the opportunity to really tap into your voice and use it in ways to co-create the life of your dreams. Who I have in the lineup today, you are in for a real treat. I have known this beautiful spirit, beautiful soul for many years, and I'm so glad that we are finally now together to offer this talk to you. I have Caroline Shola Arora, author of the best-selling books, Opening Spirit, which just celebrated its 25th anniversary, and Energy for Life, along with three other titles. So this is someone who is seasoned when it comes to being a writer, along with a healer. Shola is an energy doctor, which is highly respected in the fields of spirituality and wellness. She's recognized for expertise in energy work and has over three decades of international experience and awards. She's a psychologist, an international speaker, and along with the five books that she's offered, she trains spiritual coaches and supports individuals to reclaim their energy, to enhance their well-being, and to transform their lives. Shola, thank you so much for being on the lineup.
Hey, Damara, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Yes, yes. I'm really, really excited about diving into this conversation. So let's just begin with, you wrote your first book, Opening Spirit, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, and it's still so relevant today. How does it feel knowing that so many have found liberation as a result of this body of work?
I mean, I kind of just realized that it was 25 years. That's a quarter of a century. It just seems unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But it's a blessing. You know, it really, really is a blessing to write something from your heart that you need yourself, because you want to put things in order. You want to make sense of culture, you want to make sense of history, you want to make sense of spirituality, you want to make sense of your own journey, and to organize that into a book, and for that book to still be changing lives and, you know, really kind of transforming and making a difference 25 years later, and also to have taken me literally all over the world to speak and to train. You know, I never saw that far. What I saw, and this is useful for anybody out there who wants to write a book, what I actually saw was the book on the shelf.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that I saw, the book on the shelf. And I kind of worked to the book being in the bookshop on the shelf, but I didn't really see beyond that. Mm. And Opening to Spirit, I think we have around four editions of Opening to Spirit. And certainly in the final one, one of the things that I talk about is the work that Opening to Spirit is doing in the world. You know, I say all the things that I've done and how hard I work. And then I actually say, but Opening to Spirit works harder than me.
You know, I love this because you're offering us a glimpse into the power of visioning, mm-hmm. right? And that we have the power to co-create what we want, and yet we don't always know what that's going to matriculate into, right? We don't necessarily get to choose all of the pathways that will open up as a result of the choice that we make to see ourselves as writers, as you said, on the bookshelf, right? And yet this book over the last 25 years has taken you everywhere. And I imagine has opened up so many doors that you never even, maybe even thought were possible.
I just didn't think about them. I just yeah. weren't about them. I don't know that I thought that I kind of saw things as not possible. They were just not in my consciousness or in my awareness, really.
Yeah. Well, and so what I really appreciate about this is that a lot of times we feel like we have to like see something concretely in every single way. And as we both know, there's real power in flushing out the details. And yet there's also real power in trusting and allowing the magic to unfold and just simply allowing the magic. And so thank you for illustrating that. I know that you have something else that you want to add in tandem with that.
I just wanted to say that it's really kind of following your truth and following that kind of calling and trusting, as you say. And I just want to tell a little story. There was a time I'd already started writing Opening to Spirit. It took 7 years to write. And I was way into writing it. As I say, I saw it on the shelf and I wasn't really thinking how long is it going to take or any of those things. I was just doing what the creator had called me to do. Easy. Just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here in the UK, and Suzanne Taylor, editor-in-chief of Essence magazine, she was over here on her own book tour. Mm. Remember, she wrote those really beautiful books.
I do.
Yeah. And she was over here on her book tour, and she did an event. And I thought, okay, let's go along to this event. And I'm way into writing Opening to Spirit at this time. Mm-hmm. And I went to this event and Suzanne started talking about the proposals and different pitches and things that she gets. And she said, if they're not right, you know, if the grammar is not right, if the spelling is not right, if they don't begin in the right way, she literally is just...
Yeah, because I can't even imagine how many submissions used to come across her desk.
She gets so many. And I can remember sitting there and I was like this in my seat. Thinking to myself, who told me to write a book? What made me think I could write this book? Yeah. You know, as she was speaking, I was kind of like, oh, wow. But I was already committed. I was already committed. So I just continued. And as I say, Opening to Spirit has been doing its work in the world ever since.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the source, it's like, it sounds like it's the thing that keeps paying you back, right? You stayed committed to it. And I love the illustration that you just gave from this real example of being in the audience, hearing her say what she said, and then you having a moment of questioning and wanting to shrink in that moment and questioning whether or not like this was the thing, and yet allowing yourself to continue to rise in that and say, yes, this is the thing. Yes, I'm going to keep showing up in writing until this is complete because I trust that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That is so powerful because I think that many of us have those moments of wanting to shrink, right? Mm-hmm. Of questioning our craft, of questioning the relevancy of our voice, of the story and the power of it, and whether or not people are going to read it, whether people are going to see the value in it. And so, you know, I love that you gave us that gift today because it's a call to action for us to keep showing up in spite of the ways that we may feel like we don't want to show up because we question our worthiness, right, in those moments.
Yeah, we really have to answer that calling and stay with it. Because mm-hmm. you said about, does anyone want to read it? I can remember someone asked me, they asked me, the book was written, it was already published, it was already, you know, going out into the world. And they asked me, well, who is it really for? Who do you want to read it? And I said, well, it doesn't matter if nobody reads it. It's just, I just wrote it for myself. And I wrote it because I wanted to organize the information. And then I had to say, stop right there. I had to literally stop myself from negating the kind of dream for it, if that makes sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did write it for myself, but of course it was not limited to that. But that kind of, ooh, will people want to read it? Will people enjoy it? Will it make a difference? You know, had me kind of coming back to, well, I wrote it for me. No, that's not true.
Yeah. And
I had to just really, you know, do that cancel. And so again, you know, I think they're the things that we don't really need to pay too much mind to. We need to get the work done. Really get that book. If it's a book that you want, or any, you know, any other way that you want your message to get out into the world, just go ahead, just get it done.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is really powerful what you're sharing to really position us to not minimize what we want and what we see, because a lot of times I think we have a sense that something's going to be big. We may not know all of the magnitude of what that's going to look like, but I think that we can feel it, and it's very palpable when we are curating something first for our own light, right? As you said, but our own light is not just for us. It eventually is for the world. And I so appreciate you saying no, like, I want to write this book. I want to reach the masses. I want to do this with my story. You know, I feel like this work is going to be transformative for the lives of people. And so how dare me, right? How dare me in this moment to minimize this grand thing that I'm co-creating with God, universe, source. That is so powerful. And also very much in alignment with, as we talked about before, this idea, right, of shrinking and all of the ways in which the world might try to, you know, get us to shrink, and how important it is to stay anchored in our power, right, in spite of. This is so good. Okay, so I want to shift a little bit, and, you know, you call yourself the energy doctor. It's what you've become known of for, you know, all of the years that you've been in this healing space. So talk to us about what exactly does it mean to be an energy doctor, and why is it so important to our liberation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the energy doctor is a name that people had kind of called me from the work that I've done consistently for at least 35 years with energy. It's always been the absolute core and center of everything that I do. And, you know, a term like everything is energy is very, very literal for me. So I really do work from that place of, how do you manage your energy? How do you use or abuse your energy? I think about energy as the core of everything. And of course, I work with the chakras and the energy centers in the body. And as a result, I'm a psychologist also, and somatic therapist, yoga teacher, all of these different things. And I think as a result of the kind of depth of the work, I became known as the energy doctor.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful way to think about you and your work, right? And although you're more formal training, which of course there's training associated with all the things that you do, right? From being a yoga teacher to whatever that might be in your space of healing. And yet you started off, right, as a psychologist. And then you found your way in this other realm of healing. So talk to us about that, right? Starting off as a classically trained psychologist and moving into more of this realm of just energy work in support of people's liberation.
Well, what I'm going to say, Damara, interestingly enough, is it was actually the opposite way around for me.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Right. So I just came in with that assumption, even though I've known you, you know, because in part that was my journey. I started off as a therapist and then traversed into all of this healing work. And many people, that's how they come at it. So yes, please talk to us about your journey, which is very unique. So yeah, please share.
Yeah. So for myself, it was the opposite. Let me just say that I actually started out as a fashion designer. So fashion designer to me kind of meant, you know, new clothes, new dress, new frock, new outfit, change your life at that time. So I started on the kind of periphery. And after a few years of running a successful business in London, I kind of just felt that there must be something more to life. And I made a decision to actually leave it all behind. We were looking at the Atlas at that time, so there was no Google. And I kind of went like this, but But, and I found 2 points on the atlas, and I just packed my bags and I left.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I told people that I was going to come back either after 2 weeks, 2 months, or two years. I actually came back after 2.5 years. And during that 2.5 years, my own life was transformed. I became a yoga teacher, actually, in that time. This is in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I became a yoga teacher while traveling in India. I stayed in India for around 1.5 years. Mm-hmm. And just kind of everything in my world changed. Yeah. And so when I came back, I actually wanted to understand what had happened. And that is when I studied as a psychologist.
Wow.
So it was literally the other kind of way. So much had changed for me. And then I became a somatic psychotherapist, kind of really working with the body, of course, working with the psyche and working with the spirit from the yoga. And so what happened was I wanted to somehow bring all of this together and kind of make sense. So anytime someone said to me, "What do you do, Shola?" I was like, I had to kind of say all these different things. And, you know, I just felt like I wanted to pull it all together. And what really pulled it together for me was really understanding what underlies it all, which is the energy and the chakra system. So yeah. My journey literally was from the periphery, mm-hmm. from the, get some nice clothes.
I'm sure you were, you still got it going on, but I imagine at that time you really had it going on.
The thing was, I let it go for a minute because I was kind of like, well, you know, you don't need clothes in order to be spiritual. And since what I want to do right now is be spiritual, I need to let go of the clothes and the jewels and the everything. And so I kind of did for a moment. And people might experience that, you know, where you kind of just let go and you explore something new. But what happened for me was as I kind of moved along that journey, I realized, particularly when I was practicing as a psychologist, that I had kind of dismissed some of the spirituality at that time in order to kind of be really professional. And I kind of felt that it wasn't me and I needed to come back to my whole self. And coming back to my whole self meant being able to embrace all of these different areas, the mind, the body, the spirit, and of course, the energy. And it was the energy itself that allowed me to pull all of those things together so that rather than saying I'm a psychologist or I'm a somatic therapist or I'm a yoga teacher, I didn't say any of those things. I can be the energy doctor, and I draw on all of those things in my work still.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's one of the themes that has come up in this summit that, you know, people's pathway in entering into a lot of different spaces, a lot of different identities, and those identities that really stuck and making it make sense for our own world. And so the energy doctor, even though people were telling you were an energy doctor, it made sense, mm-hmm. congruent to all of these identities that you had. And so the other thing that I want to say, Shola, that is so powerful is that, you know, so often our entry point is to work on our outer world, right? And to have that be where we do much of our work, and beautification is, you know, and fashion is, you know, those are all one of the ways that we do that. And research shows that certainly if we feel good on the outside, it helps us to feel good on the inside. But what happens is that if we are only externalizing an experience, then we are not really creating sustainable joy, sustainable peace, sustainable liberation. And in fact, as you said, we may be sacrificing parts of who we really are in the midst of being this aesthetically pleasing person, fashionably, makeup wise, whatever that might be. And so we've got to address both worlds, and that inner world helps us to show up in the outer world in the most aligned way possible. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And, you know, those are things, of course, that aren't in your bio because you've been spending, it's been 35 years in the making, right? And I imagine you don't want to put all the things in. And yet the story that you have, your journey, your unique lived experience is such a powerful one and a reminder about trusting, right? Trusting the pathway. And so I want to just ask a quick follow-up question. You selected two places on the Atlas.
I did.
How did you know? How did you know to do that? And how did you know to trust that?
Wow. Did I know? I don't think I knew. I was just ready. You know, I was just ready to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready for kind of transformation, ready for change. And it's interesting because as I hear you speak, I think that our liberation is a spiritual journey.
Mm.
That's what it comes from. And I think at that time in my life, I didn't know what I was really opening to, but I knew there must be more to life. And so I went in search of it.
Mm.
And although for myself, it was a physical journey. You know, I went away for 2.5 years. I hiked up into the Himalayas, going up to base camp. You know, I sailed along the Nile. I went into the Australia. What's that ocean called? Great Barrier Reef. Into the Great Barrier Reef. So I did all of these really amazing things. And sometimes that is what we're going to do. We're going to travel, but sometimes we're not going to travel externally to find ourselves internally. We can literally sit down and be present, be with self and find ourselves, you know, right here, right now in this moment. That process of finding your true self can begin.
Mm.
For me, it was, you know, I took a physical journey.
Yes, yes. Well, and you know, and what I appreciate about that is this acknowledgement that you eat, prayed, loved Shola style, right? And you just trusted life as it unfolded for you because you were seeking truth. You were seeking something. And as you allowed yourself to be immersed in this unfolding of life, you also found that you don't actually have to traverse to find it, right? You had to traverse to find it to help people to understand how they find it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I was literally the original. I've never thought about this before, but
yes,
I'm the original eat, pray, love.
Come on.
One of those places, of course, was Bali. That was literally where I was.
Right? I mean, you were in India and you were in Bali and all of these other places that you went. And, you know, again, when I think about the themes along with this summit, that is a theme, right? That is manifesting for people's lives, that this search, right? And the search can happen a lot of different ways. And we may not have the resources right now to eat, pray, love our style. But what we do have the resources to do is to sit still, as you said. We have the resources to read. We have the resources to listen to interviews like this. There are tons of opportunities where God, universe, source is speaking to us the minute that we decide that we are ready for something new, that we are looking for something new. And so thank you for giving us that gift of the original Eat, Pray, Love.
Pray, love.
We might have to have a whole summit just called the original Eat. I don't even know if we could do that, actually. We might have to.
I'm sure we can. Eat, Pray, and Love. Nobody can copy.
I love that. Okay. So let's talk about now the 5 books that you've written. It's amazing because as we both know, only about 3% of the population ever even write a book. And not only have you written one, you've written 5. And so talk to us about the journey of you, that 7-year journey of writing your first book and how you have continued to show up to write, to gift the world with your perspectives on how they can really center healing in their lives.
Thank you. Yeah, I think one of the things that I learned after opening to spirit was that I love to write. And we talked a little bit about kind of minimizing the experience, but I want to also say that I recall I was sitting in actually sitting on the floor in the hallway of my house on the phone. And I think it's so long ago that that was when the phone was still attached to a wall somewhere and you had to kind of like pull it.
I remember that too, Shola. I remember.
Yeah, I don't know if people need to know that it was that long ago, but anyway,
yeah,
it was that long ago. And I was on the phone speaking, and I was speaking to one of our radio presenters here in the UK, and she was just talking to me, and I was writing Open Into Spirit, and she said something about the Bible, and I literally said, "Oh, I'm writing my own."
Ooh,
and it just came out, and as it kind of came out, it was kind of like, "Ooh, you can't say that, you know." Yeah. But of course, biblio, it actually means book. But yeah, so many people have said that Open Into Spirit is their Bible. And so just to kind of, yes, there was those moments of kind of minimizing, but there was also those moments of really recognizing the kind of magnitude of what it can be to write a book, you know, and to put what you want to really share with the world between those two pieces of card, you know, or two pieces of kind of hard.
Yeah.
The process for me in terms of writing these books, this is how I see it. I see Open Into Spirit as a book that was commissioned by the creator. And what I did was answer that calling. That's a deep purpose. The second book is called Way of the Chakras, and it's a kind of introductory level book around energy chakras. It also has a lot around healing in it. And that was commissioned by the publishers.
Wow.
Which is HarperCollins. So both of those books were by HarperCollins, which is why they had such a huge reach. Mm-hmm. And the other, let me see now, the next book was my Embracing Purpose, Passion and Peace, a book that I love. For really, it has some prayers in it. It really supports you to embrace your purpose and to do that with passion, and also to have that kind of stillness that we spoke about, and that peace that allows you to really go inside. That's Embracing Purpose, Passion and Peace. And you know, Damara, we can offer our listeners a ebook of Embracing Purpose, Passion and Peace.
Wow, what a gift. Thank you for that. That's so generous of you.
Let us make that happen so that people who would like to can really kind of either find their purpose or embrace it. Because sometimes we know the purpose, but we're not really listening, and we're not embracing, and we're not doing that with passion, and we're not doing that with just ease and peace. So that was the next book. And then the book after that is Energy for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And Energy for Life is another book that a lot of people are familiar with, because it's a wellness book, and it supports you to kind of elevate energy in different aspects and really kind of learn how to live in a conscious way. It's all about conscious living. I'm showing you energy exercises. I'm showing you energy balance, how to kind of rest, take pause, be peaceful. I'm showing you energy psychology, how to get the mind right so that you can set your mind and really manifest and bring into being. It has a beautiful chapter about energy and ecstasy, which is about sacred union and sexuality. And it also has a coaching chapter, and it's a book that I actually use along with Open Into Spirit for my coach training. So that's another really kind of beautiful book. I would say I commissioned that one.
Yes.
And yes. Then the other one is The Alchemy of Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Alchemy of Energy, which is a kind of a dip-in book where you're going to get different messages coming through. Again, it's focused around energy and the chakras, but it has kind of short readings and messages for people. It's a tiny book. It's a beautiful little book.
So I love hearing about all of your bodies of work that you've written, and the light touch that you gave us about, you know, your calling, particularly what you started us with, right? Like, this was like my Bible. And like, I felt that. I was like, ooh, like that's a bold, like that's a bold thing to say. And yet that's what it became known to be for people. And so it goes back to what we said earlier, the sense that we understand the magnitude of what we're working on. I'm writing my first book right now called Me Too, A Therapist's Journey to Heal from Complex Trauma and Find Liberation and Joy. And I can feel it. I can feel it. And that feeling, it scares me, right? It's like, ooh, I know that I don't know, but I know, right? It's a duality, right? Like I can feel it in my belly what this is going to be. I can feel the weight of it. And yet I don't know also what all that actually means. And my job is to just show up and keep writing it through this pain, right? To show up and keep writing it through this cathartic experience that I'm having as I'm going back in time to the point of my liberation moments, right? And finding what that is. And so I really appreciate you illustrating that for us, right? That power and that fear that also comes along with the power of the knowing of what we're creating. And yeah, I can't say enough about that, because I think oftentimes we don't always think that we should feel that, right? We feel like we should just be on the straight and narrow, have the courage to show up, stay in our power. And yet all of those things are essentially practices, right? Which is in part probably also why you've continued to produce bodies of work that you felt led to, because there isn't really an arrival. There's just a process. There's just a journey. There's just a coming to. And so thank you for giving us with these five books. And I don't know, maybe we'll get a sixth one from you. It'll just depend, right, on what it is you're being called to, what it is you're being called to do.
But I think it's really having the willingness. It's having the willingness to step into the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because what I say about a book is something that, you know, you have it in your mind, you have it in your consciousness, you have it in your vision. Nobody else can see that. It doesn't exist. It's energy. It is just energy. Mm-hmm. And until you take that energy and you weave it into something that is, I'm going to show you this edition of Opening to Spirit. Yeah, until you weave it into something that is kind of solid that other people can see, it remains just pure energy.
Opening to Spirit. Oh my gosh, yeah, such beautiful.
Yeah.
Such beautiful books.
This is a special edition.
Oh my goodness. And we're going to have links to all of your works of art for folks who are listening in who want to purchase these items, because I imagine that they're going to want to, particularly after giving us such a beautiful description of each one of the works. And again, helping us to understand in part what the driver was for you in gifting it to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just really answering that calling.
So powerful.
Yeah, know that, you know, if something is coming through, allow it. Know that you'll be supported.
Yeah, absolutely, right? That's our life's work, to keep coming back to that truth. And that life is always unfolding for us, and God, Universe, Source is always supporting us in wherever it is that we want to go. So you just launched a new program, and I know that you're really excited about this program. So talk to us about what it is, and again, why this program is essential to folks' liberation.
I am so excited about this program, which is Shechem Mayat. Again, it's a real kind of opening to spirit in terms of bringing Shechem Mayat into being. And Shechem Mayat is really an opportunity for us to heal the heart. To heal the heart. When I think about our healing, I think it's twofold. I think there's the personal healing. So these are the experiences that I have had. And there's the healing to come back to a sense of wholeness on an individual level. But quite often we do that, and yet there's still a pain. There's still a longing. There's still a deep kind of need. And I think that is because we also need to do a collective healing. Because on some level, the heart is broken. And Shechem Maya is really for healing the heart and reclaiming Mayat. And Maya is about liberation. Maya is about justice. Maya is about order. Maya is about truth. Maya really sits at the heart center. And so essentially, Shechem Maya, it's a healing journey. It's a healing journey for healing the heart on a deep level, personally and collectively and generationally, and reclaiming our birthright.
Yeah.
Reclaiming that order, reclaiming that balance, reclaiming love, really coming back to that all-embracing sense. You know, Mayat has those beautiful wings. She's the winged goddess. And that's an open heart. That's an opening of those wings. And those wings surround us. They embrace us. They hold us. And so Shechem Maya is really about coming back to all of this, reclaiming Maya. There's activations, initiations for the beginning. There is a practitioner level so that people can go out and share with others. And then there's also a trainer level so that people can really come into that place of liberation and then leadership.
Yeah. So this program sounds so powerful. And, you know, I often talk about individual and collective healing, right? And I appreciate how you framed it. And as we both know from working in the clinical space, that, you know, people cause us harm through trauma, right? And people also can heal us, right? People can harm us and people can heal us. And I really resonate with what you're saying about that individual pathway of healing. And so often, you know, myself, and I'm sure that many people who are listening understand that power of like sacred individual practice. And yet communal practice allows us to go deeper in our healing because it helps that heart chakra, right, to expand as you so eloquently described it, and the essence of what you're doing to help healers to heal themselves and also to heal the world. And so I appreciate that so much. And I think that, you know, people can be on that journey for individual healing and have challenges in relationships, right? And, you know, a lot of that I think is because there's some communal healing that's calling them to help with that reparations, to create those positive connections that help us to go deeper within love for self. And so I appreciate the intentionality that you, it sounds like you've put into this work, and it's been 35 years in the making, right? So how couldn't it be? So how couldn't it be?
Right. And I think, you know, our liberation as well is on both levels. You know, our liberation is personal. And as I said earlier, it's also spiritual. You know, our liberation is spiritual, but it is also collective. Yeah. You know, it's also I reach back, I hold your hand and I elevate. That's for each one of us to do. You know, each one of us takes a step. We reach back, we take a hand and we elevate.
Yeah.
It's our liberation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, this is so important because it's a reminder for all of us that as we cultivate our light, we are really supposed to help share that light with other people, right? Light is not just for us. Light is for the people that are waiting on us. And there's always an invitation. Yeah.
And that is why it's so important to be on purpose in your life.
Yes.
Because if you're not on purpose in your life, then there is something that doesn't happen. There's something that doesn't take place. There's something that's missing. I was likening it to a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, everyone's done these great big jigsaw puzzles. And what we've also done is try to take a piece and make it fit. Busy trying to make it fit. And we know that, no, it doesn't, because each piece of that puzzle is totally unique. And if that piece is not there, if you've got one piece missing from a jigsaw puzzle, that jigsaw puzzle is going to be found in the charity shop or somewhere.
Yeah.
Its potential is just because one piece is missing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not on purpose in your life, then you become that one piece. You cannot live someone else's purpose. You can't fit. You know, you may be in a job, for instance, now that you don't like. That could be someone else's purpose. You ain't meant to be there. So
yeah.
You need to elevate and be on purpose. That's how important it is. If you're not on purpose, something is missing for all of us.
Come on.
Everyone loses out when you're not on purpose.
This is so powerful, you know, and I often say, Shola, that's why passion is the second vibrational emotion that exists, because it is connected to our abundance. It's connected to our joy. It's connected to our money. It's connected to our peace. And so, you know, when we believe these things are kind of hokey, they're not. It's everything. Like, it's everything.
It is everything. Yes. And also, for me, it's about purpose, passion, and peace.
Come on.
Because I do not want to push. I don't need to push. I don't need to struggle. I don't need to fight. That's not what I'm here for.
Yes.
All I need to do is expand and open to spirit and allow that which is for me to move through me, to move around me, and to manifest as me. That is how powerful we are.
Listen. You just took me to church, okay? You took us all to church. This is why you said I am, like, this is the Bible, right? That because what you said is so, so, so deeply powerful, and about that flow state, and which goes against everything that we have been taught, that grind culture. You've got to work hard. You've got to, actually in the flow state, things just come to us. We don't, right? Through doing practice, through showing up and doing our individual and collective work, that allows us to be open to all of the gifts that only universe, God source can give us as a result of this cultivation process. So that was so powerful. All right. So take us home now, right? You know, I could talk to you all day long. I mean, you and I are going to be talking more when I come to London soon. I can't wait for that. So as we get ready to take it home and we hear from you on all the ways that people can stay in touch with you, as the energy doctor who's gifting so much to the world, and you've just curated this beautiful collective healing program and all the other ways that you support folks, talk to us about how you stayed center in your liberation in the midst of supporting other people's liberation.
Oh, I love that question. I really love that question. And there are a couple of ways that I do that. One is through my spiritual practice, because that's where I started. Remember I said that it's a yoga. That was my transformation. And so I was a kind of like, you know, real diehard 1.5 hours every day of spiritual practice. And that's a non-negotiable. That's how I start my day. And I did that for many, many, many years, like, you know, 30 years.
Wow.
More latterly, you'd be pleased to know that I kind of ease up on myself and also those that work with me. So all my clients, students that train with me. I mean, the ones that train with me in the early days who come back and do different things with me now, they're like, oh my gosh, Shola, you're kind. Because now there's more kind of ease. There's more ease, because once you embody, You know, once you embody your spiritual practice, you can pull on it at any time. You can open to spirit. You can connect at any time. And so now my practice is much more kind of fluid. And I have part of Shekhem Maya as well is deep divine rest. Deep divine rest is also part of Shekhem Maya. So that's part of my practice. Also, this is really popular. Another way that I take care of myself and, you know, I'm a big advocate of is, wait for it now, because people be loving this. People be loving this.
All right.
Meditation.
Ooh, tell us everything about this meditation practice. That's music to my ears.
I know. People love it. Everyone's like, oh, Shola, can I steal that? I'm like, it's yours. Meditation.
But listen, but it's yours. We're just borrowing it. It's actually yours, but we'll borrow it from you.
Get into a practice of meditation, especially all the people who, oh, I can't meditate. I don't know how to meditate. Meditation. So it is, it's that amazing time. It's that amazing kind of space between sleep and wake, or wake and sleep. Mm-hmm. So all of the chemicals in the body, the actual chemical makeup at those times are really conducive to creativity.
Yeah.
And they're really kind of conducive to just coming back into your body and embodiment and really sensing throughout the whole of your body. So rather than waking up with an alarm clock, which is going to do what it says, it's going to alarm your system, which is what you don't want. So some people use a natural kind of daylight that comes, or they'll use music, or what I personally prefer is to set my mind before sleeping at night so that it knows what time I need to rise. I like to sleep with a little light so that when the sun comes up as well. So once you wake, before you do anything, before you move, before you check your phone, even before you speak to anyone, just take advantage of that amazing place where the chemicals are just balanced for your kind of highest good for that day.
Yeah.
And into that energy and pick up what the creator has in store for you.
Yeah. So you know what's so funny? It's exactly how I meditate. I actually I'm doing deep meditation right now through the Silva Mind Control method to be in that alpha state, to maximize all of the magic that you just described for us. But before that, I was going between meditation and practicing Reiki on myself, even before I got out of bed. Now I'm doing this very deep practice. So I never called it meditation before, but now I'm going to say, my girl Shola said, what I'm doing is meditation. And so let's go ahead and like give a shout out to Shola for meditation and the power that it has for us to maximize what we can co-create right in that alpha state. And so that was so beautiful. And now I've got a term, right, to offer to the world. But again, of course, you know, I'm always going to give you credit, my sister.
Yeah.
So
meditation. Everybody loves meditation.
That's so awesome.
It's so very, very powerful. So powerful.
Yes. So I, you know, I don't like the fact that we've gotten to the end, but you know, all good things do come to an end. Or as my grandmother used to say, this is not goodbye. This is just farewell. Cause you and I are, you know, we're going to stay together, but let folks know listening in how they can stay in touch with you. Cause I know that they're going to want to do that. Of course, we're going to supply all of this information right in people's inboxes so that they can stay in touch with you in all the ways and purchase your books and get that free ebook, which is such a gift. So talk to us about all those ways, Shola.
Wow. Well, there's so many things. First of all, if you go to my website, shola.co.uk. So that's shola.co.uk. And as soon as that opens up, go down to the bottom and you'll see a little sign in. So you can sign in there. Now, if you do that, The first thing that you're going to get is a 7-day program that is around really elevating energy and creating ease in your life. So you're going to get that. That's the first thing. Also, I'm going to give you the link so that you can go ahead and get your free copy of Embracing Purpose, Passion, and Peace. I would love you to go through it. It's actually a workbook that's going to really help you. And also, I have a chakra, a way of really understanding what is going on in your energy centers. And that is the complete chakra test. So if you, we'll put the link for you, but if you go ahead and do that chakra test, then again, what you're going to get is your own unique energetic signature.
Wow.
So that you will have an understanding of what's going on for you right now in this moment, energy-wise, so that you'll know which chakra you may want to work on, et cetera, et cetera. Now, once you've done the test, you're going to need the books.
Yes.
Because the books are going to really help you to know the practices that you need to do. And so those books, actually really simple, it's shala.co.uk/books.
Wonderful. Oh my goodness. So Shala, I cannot tell you enough how grateful I am just for you, just for who you are, for how you show up in the world, for how we couldn't even quantify the number of people that you have helped over the 30 plus years that you have been a healer. You are truly the energy doctor. You embrace it in every single way. And we're grateful for you and your generosity, because I know for certain that as people tap into these resources, along with your books, it is going to help to elevate them so that they can get to that flow state, as we've talked about, so that they can find their purpose and passion, so that they can tap into that abundance and joy and peace. And so thank you, my sister, for just, you know, being alongside. Like, I feel like we're, you know, women in this space, we're on the healing journey, right? That's why it's called the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit, because we are all working to tap into our own liberation and gifting writing to the world, right? Our voice to the world in ways that are truly, truly transformative. So thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamara. Thank you for bringing everyone together. Thank you for gifting this wonderful summit. Thank you for inviting me. And to everyone out there, I just have one last word that I want to say to you. And that is, and it comes from the Yoruba tradition, and it is, you cannot push a river. You have to let it flow.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Thank you, Queen. All right, beautiful people, you heard it here. Make sure that you follow this amazing soul on every single platform. Tap into those generous free resources that are provided, and then go out and purchase some of these masterful works that she's put together to help us on our liberation journey. You heard it here at the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Ashe.